Take your Bible to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26 this morning, if you will. That's the first sermon, and we will now get into the second one that will be a little bit longer than the first, all right? But I hope it'll put some cheer in you too, all right? Acts chapter 26, if you will, we're going to begin reading in verse 12. Been preaching now through the book of Acts, started last year, preached all this year. This is the 59th message I brought out of the book of Acts. Not done yet. Probably won't finish until we get into next year. But we might. I don't know. But it's okay. It's all good, all right? Acts 26, look at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. In chapter 26, the book of Acts, Paul is given the opportunity to speak before King Agrippa. And he takes that opportunity to give a personal testimony of his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And can I just interject right here? You ought to always be willing and ready to tell people how you got saved. You ought to do that. If you're saved, if you've been born again, you ought to always be willing to tell people when and how that happened. Any opportunity. One of the greatest ways you can witness to somebody is to tell them how you got saved, how God led you and brought you to Him, and how you trusted Him as your Savior. Paul told the story of his conversion not to entertain the king. He was telling it because he wanted to witness to that king, and he was using that to do so. But in doing that, he also gives the call that he received to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's what we read there in verse 18. This, if you will, this is kind of the call or the commission of Paul to the Gentiles, all right? And there's five aspects to that call. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. And God called him specifically to them. And here's what he told him in verse 18. He said the first thing, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. I'll tell you, there is no doubt about it. The lost man is blind to the things of God. Absolutely blind to the things of God. That's why the atheist cannot see the great things of God. That's why it can't happen. That's why some folks always look at things negatively, if you will, and always have the negative view, and always come with that statement, well, if there's a God, and if that God loves me, and if God cares, then why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why is there evil? Why are there problems? You're blind. You're blind. You can't see, all right? So God sent Paul, and he said, the first thing you do is you open their eyes. You see, all the beauty and the glory of spiritual truth is hidden from that man that's not saved. Man, it's hidden. They can't see it. They can't grasp it. Hey, not only that, they can't see where they're headed. They find themselves groping along like a blind man. They're stumbling along through this life and can't see where they're going and where they're going to be when they wind up, all right? Hey, why? They need their eyes open. They need their eyes open. Folks in this world see only the things of the world. See only the things of the world. You as a child of God, if you're here and you're saved, if you're not careful, you get discouraged because all you look at is the things of the world. You look at the things of the world. You look at the problems. You look at the trouble. You look at those kind of things. Hey, that lost man, their heart, their mind, they're dominated by the flesh and all that the flesh can offer. That's what it is. They're dominated by that. Now, I just want to say this to you, okay? Those of you who are young, that the flesh has such an appeal to you because you are able to do and enjoy it all. But those of us who are older, we understand now better the flesh. We understand the flesh better. Hey, when I was some of your age, I didn't understand the flesh. I didn't understand how it could be. But as an older individual, I look and I see, yeah, I understand now. But man, when you're consumed with the flesh and you've got all the vim and vitality of youth and every part of you works wonderfully well and there is no pain, no trouble, you just live it up and you think this is what life's all about. But it's not all about the flesh, okay? It's not all about that. Because the eyes are closed. They can't realize the emptiness and the futility of all in our world that is portrayed as fun and fulfilling. So what happens is they wind up empty and unfulfilled at death. You hear people who were rich and famous. But when death comes, it's all futility. It's all worthless. Why? They're blind. Their eyes need to be open. Because as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, their minds are closed. They're blinded. They cannot see the light, all right? They cannot see and grasp the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I want you to look at just one verse. I want you to look at verse 40, all right? Here's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And he's quoting Isaiah. And in John 12, verse 40, he says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Blinded. Hey, the first thing God told Paul was in his commission, he said, listen, you go open their eyes. You're to go and open their eyes. But notice the second part there in verse 18. He said, you're to turn them from darkness to light. Turn them from darkness to light. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of darkness. It is our sin that puts man, it's the sin of man that puts him in the darkness of damnation. Sin takes us into that darkness. I've heard people say, I was in a dark place. You ever heard that? I was in a dark place. Well, you weren't where God wanted you to be. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't God that put you there. But our sin takes us to that dark place. Psalm 107, verse 10 says this. It says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Hey, people are in darkness. People are in darkness. There's a lot of people today that are happy, skipping and jumping, but they're in darkness. They're in darkness. Now, when they're out in the midst and before everybody, it's one way. But when you get them alone, when they're alone, they're in darkness. It's when they're alone that they turn to the bottle. I don't mean the water bottle either, okay? They turn to booze. They turn to drugs. Why? Because of the darkness they live in. The darkness they live in. Yeah, yesterday, I don't know what I was doing or where. I don't know if it was on. It must have been something on the internet. And I saw this little blurb about the Beach Boys. Now, I'm against rock music wholeheartedly. But as the flesh speaks, there were some Beach Boys songs I liked. All right, I like the sound of them. I like their harmony. Those guys could put out some harmony. I like good harmony in singing. And those fellas could put it out. But this video, little video clip I saw, they were all very young, and I got to thinking, most of those guys got messed up in drugs. Almost every one of them destroyed by drugs. But wait a minute. They were singing to a crowd that almost worshiped them. They made all kinds of money. Why would they turn to drugs? Because they were in darkness. They were in darkness. Paul was sent to the Gentiles, he said, to take them from darkness unto light. He said, turn them from darkness unto light. Hey, they sit in darkness and then the shadow of death. But on the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of this world. To walk with Him is to walk in the light. To walk in the light. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 18:28. He said, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I want to tell you, 61 years ago, He turned the light on in my life. He turned the light on in my life. He brought darkness and brought it to light. To have him is to have the light of life. John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. Hey, can I tell you, Paul's commission was you'd go to Gentiles, you'd turn them from darkness to light. Now, there's some of you sitting in here, bless the Lord, you've been turned. And you know what it is to be in the light. You know what it is to walk in the light. There's some of you sitting here, you know what it is to be turned in the light and to walk in the light and then to go back into the darkness. Not losing your salvation. Not losing your salvation. But you turned away from God and God's will, God's way, and God's word, and went your own will and your own way, and you found yourself in darkness. What a struggle. Thank God you didn't stay there. Glad you didn't stay there. Glad you came back to that light. Hey, Paul's purpose, he said, hey, I want you to open their eyes. I want you to turn them from light to darkness. But then he says this, boy, I don't know about you, but I like this. And from the power of Satan unto God. He said, you go, part of your commission is you're going to free them from the power of Satan. Sin puts us under the power of Satan. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 speaks of being sold under sin. Sold under sin. That's what sin does. It enslaves you. You said, not me, preacher. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll get you, all right? You can claim you're your own man doing your own thing. But once sin gets his claws on you, it's beyond your power to get away from it. Beyond, you can't escape it. You can't get away. Why? It's got his grip in you. Got his grip in you. And there's no way to get it to turn loose. It's there. It's there. You're possessed by it. You're enslaved by it. All right? You're under the power of Satan. You said, not me. Now you. Well, preacher, I've never been a drug addict. Good. But there's not a one of us here. Not a one of us here. But have some besetting sin that we deal with. We deal with. You said, preacher, what's yours? That's between me and God. I don't stand here and look at you and say, I'm above that. No, because I'm a sinner. Like you, there's a besetting sin. You couldn't guess it. You wouldn't know it. I don't know what yours is, but you do. You do. And it's a fight. Well, I want to tell you, the only way to get free from it is turn to the Lord. Salvation frees us from the bondage to Satan. Hey, thank God for the freedom that comes with salvation. When you get born again, you don't have to serve sin anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You can be freed from it. You said, I thought you talked about that besetting sin. I do, but you don't have to give into it. You don't have to give into it. It doesn't have to be. But if you're not saved, you go back into it. You go back into it. If you're saved, you don't have to go back into that. You don't have to dwell in it. You can be freed from that, all right? Satan can no longer treat you just any old way because you're no longer under his power. Man, I've been freed from that. I like the song that says, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, have been born again. Hey, I'm glad for that. Glad for that. Thank God for that. Freed from the power of Satan. That was Paul's commission. Paul's commission, you go there, you open their eyes. You open their eyes. You need your eyes open. He said, no, that you go do that, and you turn them from darkness unto light. You free them from the power of Satan. And then we get to this, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That they may receive the forgiveness of sins. If I were to ask you this morning, or if I had given you a questionnaire as you came in this morning and had you to fill out one question, just answer this. What do you think the greatest need of man is? We would have gotten all kinds of answers. But truthfully, the greatest need man has is to be forgiven of his sin. That is the greatest need you have. Oh, no, preacher, I need some healing. No, you need to be forgiven of your sins. Well, no, I need some money. Man, I'm really up against it. No, you need to be forgiven of your sins. There's some folks that think, no, it's money. There's some folks think it's healing. There's some folks that think it's fame. They'll do anything to get it, regardless of how fleeting it might be. They'll get, just if I can just have that one moment of fame, I'm happy. Hey, but that's not their greatest need. Your greatest need, the greatest need of every man that walks the faith of this earth, is to be forgiven of their sin. Your sins are forgiven because your sins carry a weight. Your sins carry a weight. There's a penalty that goes with that. There's a penalty that goes with it. That penalty is death. That's the penalty. If your sins are not forgiven, the penalty is death. Wait a minute. Not just physical death. You said everybody dies. Well, no. They don't. But I'll tell you this. Hey, if you die without Christ, it's not just physical death, it's eternal death. And it's eternal death in a place called hell. The Bible said, where the fire, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. It's forever and forever and forever. Well, I don't believe that. Doesn't change it. Doesn't change it. Hey, if you die without Christ, you die without your sins being forgiven, the penalty is death in hell forever. Jesus showed that the greatest need was forgiveness. In the book of Mark chapter 2. I want you to go there with me. Let me just show you from the scriptures. He showed that the greatest need that man had was forgiveness of sins. In Mark chapter 2, what we find is the account of how these four men brought this man to Jesus. All right? They brought this man to Jesus. He had four people that brought him. He couldn't walk, couldn't bring himself. They brought him, all right? And they opened up a hole in the roof and let that man down amongst, in front of the Lord Jesus. Look in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said, what? He's sick. Jesus, can't you see that? Amen. Yeah, he saw that. But he said, that's not the greatest need he has. He said, the greatest need is thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. But look at verse 6. But when there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Which one do you think's easiest to say? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. But the first need he dealt with was his sin. Why? Because sin's the greatest need. Forgiveness of sins, the greatest need man has. And oh, what a joy it is to know that your sins are forgiven. What a joy. Your debt's been paid. Debt you had, you couldn't pay it. What a joy it is to know it's been taken care of. I'm never going to have to face those sins again. Never. Glory to God. Not going to have to face them. You know, somebody that's known you for a long time maybe wants to come at you and say, wait a minute, you remember what you did? Yeah, I do, but the Lord doesn't. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sins are forgiven. Man, you just think about that. What a joy, what a blessing to know your sins are forgiven. Man, never going to face them again. Never going to face them again. God said to Paul, now Paul, you go down there and that they may, you talk to those Gentiles. I want you to talk to them. Their eyes need to be open. They need to be turned from darkness to light. They need to be turned from the power of Satan unto God. Their sins, if they may receive forgiveness of sin. You know what? If that was all, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? But there's one more thing in this verse. Notice what it is. An inheritance among them which are sanctified for faith that is in me. He said, hey, guess what? You're here. He said, you go down there, you talk to those Gentiles. You talk about opening their eyes. You talk turning from lightness to dark, from the power of Satan and to get forgiveness of sins. But I want you to introduce them to this thing called an inheritance. They have an inheritance coming. That inheritance is all God's doing. I want you to take your Bible with me. You don't even have to hold your place anymore in Acts, all right? Go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. That inheritance is all God's doing. My brother and I used to joke when mom and people talked about inheriting things from their parents when their parents passed away. My brother and I used to say, hey, when my dad and my mom and dad are gone, we get to split the bills. You can pay your part and I'll pay my part, all right? That inheritance. But there is an inheritance. Colossians 1, look at verse 12. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You said it's all God's doing. Yeah, it's all God's doing. That inheritance is not because of what you did. It's not because of what I did. It's nothing we could do. We couldn't do anything about it. But it was inheritance that God did it all. He made us meet to be partakers of that inheritance. He did that, all right? It was He who produced it. Go back now to Ephesians. You're in Colossians. The book before that is Philippians. The book before that is Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this in verse 10. Verse 10 and 11. The Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also, here it is, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Notice, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, God made us meet to get that inheritance, but we obtained that inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, if you got saved, now listen, you got to understand, I'm talking about, this is the last part of that call and commission to Paul. And he said, after they've had their eyes open, they've been turned from darkness to light, freed from the power of Satan, okay? They've received forgiveness of sins, then, and only then, the inheritance comes in, all right? That's when the inheritance comes in. And we obtain it in Christ, because if He is in us and we're in Him, that gets us that inheritance. Hey, we're in the family of God, all right? We're in the family of God. Most people, the inheritance comes through the family, all right? Comes through the family. We dream about it. We dream about somebody dying and leaving us all of their wealth. And then we wake up and realize we were just dreaming, all right? Truth of the matter is, normally it's going to come through the family. Said, man, if I could have just been born into the Bass family here in Fort Worth, the Bass brothers, they're quite wealthy. Oh, it would have been so good. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But we're not going to get that wealth. When the Bass brothers die and we read it in the paper, I'm not going to expect them to call me and find out, hey, you were mentioned in the will. If they did, I'd go down there, and I'm sure the will would be read, and to Marlon Mosley, I would just like to give a hearty hello. And that'd be it. Hey, but that inheritance, we've obtained that inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. It's not going to have. We've already tapped into it. You said, what do you mean, preacher? You still got your Bible open there in Ephesians 1? Look down in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth. Now, that whom is Christ. All right, look in verse 12. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now here it is, look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, if you don't know anything about the Word of God and the working of God, you look at those words and you go, huh? Well, here it is. Here it is. We already have the earnest of our inheritance. We have it. You said, how's that, preacher? In the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We already have that. If you're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's in you. And the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. You don't belong to the Lord. All right? There's a church that teaches you get saved, and later on you get the Holy Ghost. That's not scriptural. Scripture is you get saved, and that moment the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. The Holy Spirit comes into you. And the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. You said, what do you mean? Well, it's like this, okay? Lance, come up here, all right? Lance, come up here real quick, all right? All right, he's young and he can haul it up here, all right? I'm going to use him. You can stand right there. That's good. All right, I'm going to purchase something from him, all right? What have you got that's worth more than $100? Your car, all right. Now, so I'm going to buy his car from him. But technically, he keeps the car, all right? He keeps the car, but I give him this $100. And what do we call that? That's earnest money. That money is given to him in assurance that says, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. I didn't give you that as a gift. I'm going to get that car. I'm going to buy it from you. You hang on to that. I got to go take care of the financing or whatever, and I'll buy it. That's the earnest money, okay? Hey, listen, we got the earnest of our inheritance when we got the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Spirit moved into us, all right? It's a done deal because we have that earnest money, all right? We have it. Now notice what your Bible says. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, what is that purchased possession? Well, it's you. Here I am. I've been bought by the Lord. He paid for me, all right? He's given me the earnest until the redemption of this purchased possession. He said, when is that going to take place? When the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise, then we which are alive and remain to be caught up together, but we're going to be changed. Give me back my money, all right? Hey, listen to me. We've got the earnest of that inheritance. Now, we groan in this old body because it hadn't been redeemed. Our soul, our spirit's saved. It's been purchased. We've got the earnest in the person of the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We bears witness with our spirit. We're the children of God. Hey, we have that. We enjoy that right now. All right? We enjoy that right now. We're going to get an inheritance. Look in Colossians chapter 3, look in verse 24, would you? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. It's coming as a reward. It's coming as a reward. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to just see it, all right, here in the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you know your Bible, you know where I'm going, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1, look in verse 4, all right? To an inheritance, there it is, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. You ever seen the sign? Ever seen the sign on the back of a big, fancy, expensive motorhome that said, we're spending our children's inheritance? You ever seen one of those signs? I've seen one of them. Man, big old motorhome probably cost, $400,000 or $500,000. Fancy things. Sign on the back, we're spending our children's inheritance. Tried to explain to my son and daughter, don't count on it when we die. All right? Because their inheritance is not incorruptible. It's not undefiled. But our inheritance is. And the Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. reserved in heaven for you. You ever stop to think about what God's done for you? You ever just stop and get a hold of the fact? Hey, you're here this morning. You're here this morning. Your eyes have been opened. You've been opened and you've understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understood the fact you were a sinner. You were lost and He died to save you. He was buried and He rose again the third day for your justification. You've understood that, all right? You've seen that. Your eyes have been opened, all right? And you trusted and you've been turned from darkness to light. You no longer have to walk in the darkness. You can walk in the light, the Bible said, as He is in the light. You can have fellowship with Him. What a wonderful thing that is. Hey, you've been freed from the power of Satan. Now, you may let the old devil come back in and get a hold of you every now and then, but you don't have to. You've been freed from that power. You've got the forgiveness of sins. You've got that knowledge that you'll never again have to face your sin. And you have within you then an earnest of the inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit that bears witness that you're His child. And you can go through life singing, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. Why? Because Jesus is my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I don't tell you, if that don't put a smile on your face, what's got to happen to bring one to it? What needs to be done to you? But I don't tell you this, if you're here this morning, and you've never trusted Christ, you're headed a different way. You're not headed to heaven. You're headed to hell. People like to say when somebody dies, nonchalantly, they say, well, they're in a better place. Not unless they were born again. Not unless they trusted Christ. You die without Christ, that darkness you live in will be eternal. It'll be eternal. The only time you'll ever get out of that darkness is when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. To hear Him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You'll be cast into the lake of fire. Not because I want you to be, but that's what the Bible says is going to happen. But it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. Hey, God's provided everything that I've said to you this morning for those that will come to Him and serve Him. The question is real simple. Will you come? Will you come? Will you serve Him? Some of you, maybe you're here this morning, you've got these things, but you're not enjoying them because you've still let the devil control most of your life. You're not enjoying what you could enjoy. It's available, but you're not enjoying it. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what else you're doing. You're a hindrance to that person that's never been saved. And they look at your life and think, why should I be saved? That's you. You ought to be at this altar when we start the invitation. You ought to be at this altar. You ought to get right with God. You're here this morning. You've never trusted Christ. I'm pleading. I'm begging you this morning. I'm begging you, would you come? Would you just have the courage to step out, walk down this aisle? I'll be standing right there in front. Would you just have the courage to come down, take me by the hand and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ today. Would you just do that? Say, preacher, is it that simple? It's just that simple. You just need to come. And we'll have somebody take the Bible. I want you to understand thoroughly so somebody will show you in the Word of God. But would you come today? Would you come today? Let's stand together, if you would, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Christian, if you're here and you're not right with God, you ought to come. God's done it all for you, and you ought to, you know, serve Him, just plain and simple. You ought to serve Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we need You today. We need to hear from heaven. There's some folks here that need to come. Lord, they need you to give them the courage to walk this aisle today. I pray, Lord, you'd help them to do it. Help them to see and acknowledge their need of a Savior. Help them to come. Lord, help those of us that are saved to have a desire to serve you and to be right with you and not let old Satan get another grip on us.